Now, once again, let us turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians and the first chapter. And this evening we'll read verses 22 to 24. That's the first chapter in the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, and reading chapter 22 and 24. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labour. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So we see in these verses, the apostle really continues the theme which we thought about last Friday. And as we concluded our meditation on that occasion with the 21st verse, which tells us, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The apostle was a godly man. And the apostle, by the grace of God, sets forth the grace in his spiritual life, which was indeed set forth in his continual desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know him more, to serve him, to love him, and indeed at last to be found in glory with him. So we have a wonderful account, really, of all the words that the apostle brings before us in his epistles and in the Acts of the Apostles. And when we think of his statements in that verse, the 21st verse, and also in these verses here tonight, we see that his heart and his mind was set upon glory, set upon that great time when he, by the grace of God, would be with the Lord Jesus Christ, never to part again. And perhaps we can think of the apostle. He gives us a record, you know, of the occasion when he was caught up into the third heaven. He was very blessed. And we can read about that in the 12th chapter of the second epistle to the Paul to the Corinthians. And this 12th chapter gives us a little insight into the wonderful blessing that he had. And he tells us, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one would I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. And so there we have a little view, a little thought, a little truth of what the apostle was able to tell the Corinthians. And we only really read of it on this one occasion. And yet, as you said, it was 14 years ago, and I'm sure we can understand that Paul is here speaking in the third person about himself, about that wonderful revelation he had. And of course, we know that he was, in fact, the apostle that was ordained by God to take the place of Judas Iscariot. And therefore, he had this wonderful vision to bring him really into line with the other apostles who had indeed walked with the Saviour on the earth. It is a wonderful testimony. And we can therefore believe that those things that he sets before us in these verses, in the first epistle to the Philippians, really he relies perhaps upon, and it's utmost perhaps in his thoughts, that wonderful revelation when he was caught up into paradise. And that's what he calls it, into paradise. The same word that the Savior used on the cross, the dying thief. It is that place to which all the church of God, by God's grace, will one day come, to that inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. Well, these are three verses this evening. Just give us a little more insight into his desire, into the life that he desired to live, and his great esteem for the Savior. For if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. That which he desired to set before the people, the fruit of his labor, was a crucified Christ. And when he wrote to the Galatians, he speaks about that in the second chapter, in the 20th verse. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, that was true of the apostle. And it's wonderful to realize that it's true of the whole church of God. None are exempt. None are cast out. What a blessing it is then to have that faith, to believe these truths as written and as spoken by the apostle, have a glorious application to ourselves. I'm worthy as we are. And I'm sure as the Holy Spirit leads us and directs us, we're under no misunderstanding of the greatness of the mercy and favor of God to bring us into this condition and into this position. And so he says, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. He didn't know really what to choose, because there set before him, indeed, those truths that we already referred to in the 21st verse, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So therefore, whatever his position, it was well with his soul. Well, my life endured, and well when caused to die. Now these things, of course, are high things, but we shouldn't think they are irrelevant to us. We should be concerned that we understand something of the testimony, something of the experience that the Apostle Paul speaks of. It may perhaps only be just a glimpse from time to time. What a blessing if we have received a glimpse of glory, a glimpse of Emmanuel's land, a glimpse to believe that one day, by his grace, we shall be with Christ, which is far better. And that's why the apostle goes on to say, he said, what I shall choose, I wot not. He didn't know what to think, really. For I am in a strait betwixt two. He was in a situation. There he was between two positions. And he was there and didn't know what to think. And the two conditions were this. Firstly, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And secondly, notwithstanding, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. That wasn't, of course, an eternal abiding. It was just a temporary abiding to remain and to be with the church of God, to encourage them and to strengthen them. Well, it's a good thing, isn't it, that we have an account like this to encourage us, because as we often look at ourselves, perhaps, we can think, can ever God dwell here? Can ever I have such wonderful desires like this? Perhaps we have to confess that we're fearful. We're fearful, perhaps, of our true condition. What a blessing it is when God comes and confirms to us the wonderful blessing of his Spirit in our soul, that he's done that for us, which you and I could not do for ourselves. I'm sure you know it's a statement I often make, and I'm sure it's a very true statement. And perhaps we need to ponder our little lives, to look back, and to be able to thank God for his love, for his mercy, for his condescension in not leaving us and not casting us away, but being gracious to us and in measure revealing himself unto us as it is not unto the world. And don't forget that very beautiful statement, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the treasures of many wicked. So if the Lord has come and touched our heart and enabled us perhaps just for a very, very short time to look beyond this life to paradise at last, and given us a little gracious anticipation of that time. We don't know what it's like there. We're told, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. But nonetheless, we can believe it is truly paradise and Jesus in the midst. And so the apostle comes and the apostle tells us, having a desire to depart. It's a great blessing if just for a short moment or two, God blesses us with this desire. And it's not to just depart out of trouble. Many people want to get rid of trouble, and many people commit suicide to get rid of trouble. But no, this was a complete difference. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. That's why he wanted to depart. Which he tells us is far better. Well, the apostle had been caught up into paradise, and therefore had some idea that it was indeed far better. And what a mercy for us today. If God gives us that grace to look beyond the things of time, to those things which are eternal. You know, the apostle had a humble confidence, did he not? And as we read together in that fifth chapter in the Corinthians, second epistle, therefore we are always confident. You know, we should desire to be confident of God's work within us and to believe what he's done and to believe in the prospect before us. Therefore we are always, says the apostle, confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. But how true that is. What a blessing it is then. The Holy Spirit leads us into these truths with a real desire to be with Christ, which without any doubt is far better, because being with Christ is that place where there is no sin, nothing to bring sorrow into our hearts, no crying, no weeping, but eternal joy and happiness. And so we can see it must be far better to depart and to be with Christ. But then he says, nevertheless, in the providence of God, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Needful for the church of God to have Paul with them for a bit longer, to declare the great and glorious truths of the gospel, to preach Christ and him crucified, as he spoke so beautifully, I determined not to know anything among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And what a wonderful account we are able to read of the truth of those words as the apostle goes forth to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, may we meditate upon these great truths and pray that the words here might truly be our desire, may truly be our experience, may truly be our testimony. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labour. Yet what I should choose, I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Amen.